Good morning. Well, last week we began the season of Advent, and we spent the first Sunday, we looked at a passage from the prophet Jeremiah. And if you were here, you heard this fact that Jeremiah spoke about hope to a people who were feeling stuck, who were feeling trapped in their circumstances and their life. Their city, Jerusalem, was under siege by a great power, Babylon. But not only was there siege around it, but inside there was difficulties. There was more greed and selfishness than there was justice or kindness. And they felt like people, individually and collectively, as those who were stuck in mud, stuck in mire, longing for someone to come and lift them out. This morning, we're going to continue looking at the promise of God to come, and we're going to look at a prophet named Malachi. Now, the time period from Jeremiah to Malachi was 150 years, and a good amount had happened in that 150 years. The city of Jerusalem had fallen to Babylon. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed, and all those who had survived that difficulty had been taken into exile into Babylon. But that time of exile was over, and people, the Jews, were coming back into their land, into Jerusalem. The temple had been rebuilt. They were back home in their land. Yet at the time of Malachi's writing, the people still felt a stirring, a problem within themselves. They were home, but they still felt unsettled. They had left Babylon, and they did not have to, you know, be in exile anymore, but they still felt in their being and in their community that the exile was continuing. They still felt estranged, being unsettled. Even with the good things of returning, the good things of rebuilding the temple and the community, they felt like exiles in their own land, strangers in the homes of their families, incomplete even when looking at a finished temple. And it's in response to this experience of being unsettled, of feeling an exiled spirit, that God speaks of peace through his prophet Malachi. We'll see in our passage that the Lord says through his prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Behold, I, the Lord whom you seek, will come to you." So let's look at our passage that speaks of God coming and speaks of peace to the people. You can follow in your order of worship or in your Bible if you have it. This is Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've gathered us here, and we thank you especially for the season of Advent in which we can intentionally reflect on your promise to come and your coming to us in Jesus. Lord, we pray not only would you help us to hear that promise, but you'd help us to see and reflect on our need for you to come, on your need to be present in our life. We ask that you'd be here with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we reflect on this passage, this ancient words that God gave to his people, speaking of peace, I want us to ask the question about why is it central to the Christian faith? Why is it so central that to speak of God's promise that he will come himself to his people? Why is the Lord coming to his people central to the faith? And I want to look at three answers to that, three aspects. Why is it important that the Lord will come himself to his people? And the first one I want us to see this morning is that the coming of the Lord speaks to our deepest longings, our deepest purpose. "Behold, the Lord is coming." Malachi speaks to his people. And it's this Advent, this promise of God coming, tells the people of that day that there was something more than a return into their land. There was something more than getting out from under the powers that would hold them. There was even something more than restoring the religious practices of the temple. There was something more that was awake within inside of them that they longed for. The lingering sense of exile speaks of a deeper longing and a more profound promise from God. And what this passage invites you and I to hear, if we identify with it, is that our deepest longings is for the one who made us. And at the heart and center of God's promise is for us to be united to Him, to live in union with God. And so this passage invites us to reflect on our longings. I can remember a Christmas morning many, many years ago. I think I was 6 years old. At the time, my family lived in Pennsylvania, but much of my mom's side of the family lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and so we flew out to Phoenix for Christmas. And we arrived, I think, on Christmas Eve, and in the midst of all the busyness of Christmas Eve, we, you know, went through the day and went to sleep. And I was by far the youngest in the household there at my aunt and uncle's home. But in the midst of everything going on, there was not much thought given to the large time change and to a young boy's anticipation of Christmas morning. I don't know exactly what time it was, but the 3-hour time change definitely was at work when I woke up early in the morning, ready to open my presents while the rest of the house was fast asleep. Looking back now, I think my poor parents, they just wanted to sleep. You know, what's so wrong about that? But in that time, I remember in my sleeping bag next to my parents, in my parents' bed, and my mom, my poor mom, tried to get me some books to read. She even went to the kitchen, got me some food, maybe to eat, to keep me, you know, maybe to stay and wait. But I was not interested in reading books. I was not interested in food. What I wanted was to look at the presents that were under the tree. I could go on longer, but I think at one point my mom relented and let me open a gift with her before everybody else was forced to get up. But I mention that as kind of as an example of anticipation, having this longing that you might, what other things might be offered, even good things. We know at times there's something more that we want. There's something else that we have in our mind that needs to be satisfied. And if only our deepest longings were as easy as going to the tree and unwrapping a gift. If only the deepest longings that you have and I have would be as easy as getting out and finding what was under that tree. You see, even when we build a good life with good things, we will encounter a longing for something more. Something beyond. Something to which these good things that we might have, to which they point. And maybe you have this experience too. Even when we do find or receive good things, that we still have a sense of longing, or even maybe encountering something good awakens in us a sense of sadness or longing that we hadn't necessarily felt until that moment. Part of the reason of that is that God's promise tells us that even the best things, even these good things, do not hold goodness in themselves. Do not hold our peace or completion in themselves. The good things are good, and we should certainly say that. But they are also something that points us beyond to the giver of all good gifts, to the one that we were made for and made to know. You see, Malachi is inviting the people to reflect on the fact that why coming back to the land, a very good thing, that coming back points to a larger hope that their exile would end when they dwell with God and that they would know God face to face. Why is the Lord coming to His people central to the Christian faith? Well, one is it speaks into our longings, but you and I know that when we look inside ourselves, not only do we see a depth of longing, but we see that there are things that are broken. You see, the language of Malachi, this promised messenger who will come and tell it that the Lord Himself will come, is surrounded by language of preparation, language of evaluating and examining your life. The promise of God coming is central to our faith because it's an invitation, it's a chance for you and I to acknowledge that there is not peace. There is not peace for us individually, and there is not peace corporately as a people, or a city, a world. See, into the unsettled and exiled hearts of the people, Malachi promises the Lord Himself is coming, and the arrival of the Lord Himself will be preceded by a forerunner, a messenger. And this image rests upon an Eastern cult custom that when a king would go out to visit his land, when he'd go out to villages or cities, that they would send a messenger ahead of the king who would go and prepare the way. He would make sure the path was clear, that it would be passable, but also to prepare the people that one who was important, one who was significant was coming. Now this image of this Eastern culture is applied to the Lord God Himself. A messenger will go out before to show us the route, to show the way, and to summon all who would long for such a visit to look at their hearts and to reflect upon the ruts and brokenness within them. The prophet Isaiah speaks of a similar image when he says that there will be one who comes to prepare the way, to make straight in the desert a highway for the Lord, in which every valley shall be lifted up, that every mountain shall be made low. Uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain. The crooked places will become straight. And we heard this morning in the reading from the Gospel of Luke that that person who fulfilled that for Jesus was John the Baptist, who came and invited all who would hear him to repent, for God himself was coming to you. And John's call to repent, it brings forth this whole notion of Malachi and what Isaiah were talking about, a chance for you and I to not think just only of our longings, but to look at our hearts and our lives and to reflect on what it is that we hear, what it is that we see, what it is that we remember or feel. For us to hear that what we tend to ignore or dismiss, to remember those things that we often choose to forget, to see the things within us or around us that we prefer to overlook, and to try to feel again in places that we have grown callous. When God comes, we are invited to acknowledge that there is a brokenness and that there is no peace. And God comes not only to invite us to reflect on that reality, but he comes as the one who only he can establish the way. Only he can connect us in the midst of our brokenness to our deepest longings. Only he can speak about the possibility of peace. As humans, you and I, we long for that which is transcendent. I said, you know, there's something in us that longs deeply for that. We long for things to be set right. We long for an encounter with God. Yet if we're also honest, that part of our human condition is that we long for control. That you and I long for things to go the way that we expect them to go or that we desire them to go. And the promise of God coming, it's a chance for you and I to humbly acknowledge that there is no peace and that our attempts to control often lead to using others, to mistreating others, to ignoring others, or to ignoring our own problems. So even as we gather here many thousands of years later, we are invited to reflect on those who would come back to the land like Malachi, but still felt in their heart the lack of peace. Unsettled, not feeling at home, longing for an exile to end. A chance for us to look at our own lives and our own relationships and reflect on the promise of God, to invite us to see things that are crooked instead of straight, to speak of the things that you and I have left undone. As a people, we reflect on God's promise that allows us to be awoken, to think about how we look at our city, and to see the ruts and the low places, and to think of those who have been left behind or forgotten, and to ask how God's love might move us to be part of such places. So why is the Lord's coming central to the Christian faith? One is it speaks to the deepest longings of our hearts. Others, it invites us for a chance to be honest where there is no peace. And the third thing I want us to see is that the question of God coming allows us to see that the Lord himself is our peace. The Lord himself offers to be our peace. You see, our passage asks us, what does it mean for you and I to be settled, to feel at home, to set aside the sense of exile? We could talk for a long time, but I want to briefly say that as Christians, we often can go in two extremes when we think about seeking peace. Both of them are ways in which we try to close down the kind of the category or close things. On one side is this path of self-righteousness. Another path is a path of despair. If we think about self-righteousness, this path, we want to tell ourselves, look, God has come in Jesus. That closes the question. We shouldn't feel sad or shouldn't feel undone any longer. In theological terms, we might call that a realized eschatology, in which we say that all of God's promises, no longer are we waiting for them to be fulfilled, but we just assume that everything has happened now. When we think about things in that way, it's like we're closing off the question. You know, I used to be sad. I used to know frustration or fear, but now I know God. And while that might be certainly true, God in his own word invites us to acknowledge that there are places of unrest and brokenness still within us that he longs to change. And there's places of brokenness in this world that he longs to address. And to close things in that way leads us simply into a path of not being honest, of self-righteousness, where we have everything be okay. It'd be like saying to the people of Malachi's day, your home, temple's been rebuilt. There's no reason to talk anymore. No reason to feel incomplete anymore. Well, Malachi knew that wasn't true, and God knew it as well. That's one side where we close down the conversation of repentance. We close down the sense in which we long for things to be different or long for things within us to change. On the other side, though, is another extreme where we simply kind of close down the question by saying there can be no peace. There's simply despair. We see only our own resources. We see only our own chances to put things down or control things. And in the moments in which we have success, we think, well, maybe this will work out. But then we realize that eventually it undoes. And there is no chance and things could be better. Both of those extremes close us off to the fact that when God comes himself, he invites us to find peace in him. Not a peace in which all circumstances are worked out, or not a peace in which you and I no longer have to deal with our struggles or our sin, but rather a peace that invites us into the promise of God, the one who will come to us as his people. The coming of the Lord means that the blessings of the age to come have begun in our life but have not yet fully arrived. The promise of a new creation has been established in Jesus' arrival, but that full creation has not yet been developed. In Jesus, we're invited rather to have confidence as we wait, for the one who rose from the dead will also raise us. In Jesus, the God who came to us brings us his Spirit, and we belong to God now, but we wait for God to remake us fully in his image. The entire Christian life, the season of Advent, highlights that the Christian life is to be lived in that tension, that we belong to God. We belong to God. Yet what we hope to be someday has not yet arrived. Peace requires the church, you and I, to witness to that tension, where we long and wait and speak of our sin and repent. Peace requires us to know such waiting, to know the suffering in ourselves or sadly in the world around us. For peace ultimately is linked to God coming. It's linked to the grace that he offers you and me. And that grace that God speaks is the basis for you and I to be honest, to speak of a heart that feels like an exile or unsettled, to long and repent for God to change us and to remake us, to say even that evil and sin is not simply out there, but it's still within here. And to help us reflect on this peace that God offers to us, Malachi offers two images in our passage. The image of the Lord being the refiner's fire and the Lord being the fuller's soap. A refinery requires intense heat that would burn away impurities in precious metal. In modern, I don't know anything about it, but I know in modern setting, a blast furnace is used to do that. But in the ancient city of Israel, when Malachi was writing, that the refiner would be on the edge of the village stoking an intense fire, a fire that people could see, a fire that could be felt if you got close at hand, for it was in that fire that things would be purified. And Malachi says that when we reflect on God, that we should say that God is like this blazing fire. Hot and close, because God is God, that to be in God's presence is a serious thing. No impurities, no sin, no wrong can survive in God's presence, and that God comes with his fire to search out those impurities, those sins that harm us, harm our families, and harm our neighbors. But there's not just the image of God coming to burn the impurities in our hearts. There's another image as well, that God is like soap. The refiner's fire was a terrifying and dangerous and untouchable thing, but the laundry soap is a different image, one that's personal and close. Touching our most intimate clothing to make them clean. Touching ourselves in the most intimate way to make ourselves clean. The second image of the fuller soap is an image of the household, the image of the family, an image of intimacy, that God is like the mother washing her family's clothes, who will not rest until everything is clean and fresh. Her work is a hands-on labor of love. It is a serious work and effort to make sure that those she cares about, that she cares enough about, that the dirt will no longer touch their bodies. Garments others would not touch, clothes soiled by the most direct and intimate body processes, it's these that this person would touch, would take, and would clean. And why would the mother do this? Why would the family do this? To care for her family, to wash as an act of love, as an act of intimacy, an act of purity. And such an image, Malachi says, is an image of our God. God is like a mother washing, cleaning her family. God's strength is one of fire. God's tenderness is one of cleansing even the most intimate, deepest places. And these two images of strength and tenderness come together in the promise that he himself will come, and he will come in the person of Christ. Why is the coming of God himself central to our faith, central to our peace? Because God's word tells us that in Christ, God himself passes through the fire and passes through the waters. God himself will bring people through the fire of purity. He will bring them through the waters to cleanse them, not that they would be consumed, but that they would be his. Jesus, the one who will come, God himself who will come into our brokenness and longings, will come that he may be burned and may be washed over, that you and I would be attached to God forever. It's a time for us to remember God coming to us that we might know his promise, not just now, but forever, that we would be with him and be remade by him. It's this time of the year that we can hear again Isaiah's promise when God says that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. God has come to make things different and make things right, and he begins in our life. But our peace is not that you and I have things figured out or there's no more longing or no more sin, but our peace is that we belong to God, the one who promises to make things clean and new. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is faithful. Lord, we know what it is to have hearts that are unsettled, hearts that feel like they are in exile or incomplete. And so, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this day, that we would find a new way to direct our longings to you, that we'd find ways to be honest about our brokenness with you, and, Lord, that we'd find rest in your peace, the peace of Christ. Amen.